We're just okay, and we play some movies. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host, Biggie Size, and I'm joined by...
Guido.
And only Guido. Buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. Not too bad at all. It's been a busy week, but it's good. It's almost over. We're almost there.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're on hump day, huh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
For those that don't know, we record this on hump day.
We do, and normally get it up that night, and usually
yeah,
shows up
in
the morning.
That
oh,
night.
I get it up every night. night, oh, boy. No, dude, I'm getting too tired.
Yeah.
Dude, it's tough, man. I'm already starting to feel, I'm only 29, so that's not, you know, that's definitely not old, but I've already started feeling it a little bit. Just like the energy level just slowly falling, ever so slightly. Mm. And I guess it just gets worse from there.
Almost a big 3-0, huh?
Almost there, man. One more year. Goodness gracious. Boy. Yeah, I know it. Well, Guido, have you watched any films this week? Or what's your most recent one you've watched?
I've watched a few films. They're all overshadowed by Infinity War, though.
Of course, I know it. It's tough after talking about Infinity War to really get excited about another movie.
Right. So I took Infinity War, this great movie that I enjoyed thoroughly, and I decided to bring it down a little bit, and I watched The House.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Do you know what this is? Do you know about The House?
I do not.
you'll recognize it as I start talking about it. It is a Will Ferrell and
No, I know what you're talking about now.
What's the lady's name?
Blonde lady. Crap.
She's on Parks and Rec.
Oh, Fair. No, that's not it. Hold on. I'm trying to remember her last
Fair.
Name. I thought that was her last name. I don't think it
Jennifer.
Is. Oh, is it? Oh, God, way off.
No, it's not Jennifer. Oh, my God. It can't be. People are shouting at their Zooms right now. I assume everybody listens to this on a Zoom.
Yeah, I think we're only on the Zoom marketplace. You know, I thought that was a real hot market.
Right. God, what the fuck is her name? Amy Poehler?
Amy Poehler, that's right. Super memorable.
Yeah, and they are parents of a college-bound daughter. Will Ferrell is passing; he's attempting to pass for being 40 years old because he even says he's 40 in this movie. I think he's in real life. I think he's like 56 or something.
He's starting to show his age pretty bad.
Yeah, a little bit. They are parents of a college-bound young lady who. Has a scholarship to a prestigious Ivy League school that the town is giving her.
Oh.
And there's a shady councilman who says, who brings it up in a town meeting, hey, we are going to build a pool for the town. And everybody in favor of the pool raise their hand. Everybody raises their hand. And then he slips in there, everybody in favor of not giving this girl her scholarship, raise your hand. Everybody raises their hand.
Oh.
And takes away her scholarship. So now these two parents don't have the money to send their child to this Ivy League school.
I had no idea there was such a plot behind this movie.
And one of their friends, who is a professional gambler, who's played by Jason Mantzoukas. He's I like him as an actor a lot. He's very one note, but he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
You may know him from The Dictator, and he's Rafi on The League.
Right. Right.
He suggests that they make a illegal casino, and they'll raise money to send their daughter to college. Which they want to raise, I think, $250,000 to pay for her college.
Wow.
Yeah, and they have a month to do it.
Oh.
And hijinks ensue, And it's let me save everyone some time. Don't bother with this film.
All right, who's worse? Who's the worst part of the film?
Oh man, it's everybody's bad. Okay. It was like a payday. It seemed there was no heart to the movie at all.
Sure.
None of the jokes landed. There's this one scene where someone thinks everybody going to the casino is members of the community. Everybody knows each other. They all live in the neighborhood. And one of the people accuses another person of cheating. And then some like neighborhood scuffle comes out like, hey, well, if your dog didn't poop on my lawn, you wouldn't be here, blah, blah, blah. You know, just stupid jokes about neighborhood shit. And then it turns into they're about to have a fist fight and they stop them. They're like, no fist fights here. And then they're like, unless we're getting paid, we're taking bets for this fist fight. And then they have a fist fight in the living room while everyone's betting. And it was just, it was totally not funny. Eventually, they like Amy Poehler's character becomes addicted to marijuana.
Oh my God.
And they made a point to say like she's addicted to marijuana, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
And then some like thug ends up going there and he's cheating. So they take him into the garage and they're like threatening him. And the Jason Mantzoukas' character says, hey, Will Ferrell, you got to cut this guy's finger off. To show him a lesson. Otherwise, everybody's going to think that you could cheat here. And Will Ferrell's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm squeamish and whatnot. There was also, okay, I'll get to that later. But he hands him like a machete to cut his finger off or something, an axe. And Will Ferrell's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And he tries to hand it back to him, but he trips and he cuts the guy's arm off or his like hand off. And then just drenches Will Ferrell in blood.
Oh my God.
And then Will Ferrell like leaves this garage and goes onto the casino floor drenched in blood. And no one's like, wow, we should call the cops or an ambulance or something. But yeah, it was just a bunch of like hacky jokes and just completely uninteresting. Didn't like it.
Yeah, it feels like Will Ferrell's kind of following into this, what to call it, like the Adam Sandler effect. It's like you expect this kind of humor like from Adam Sandler, and he's tried a bunch of different other things and no one really likes it. So he goes back to what he knows, but something happens in those films, they're just not the same anymore. And you just wonder, is it the person? Is it just the roles? You know, what it could be, and I feel like that same thing's happened to Will Ferrell. These films are really similar to what he's done in the past, and they were really funny, but now it's just, it doesn't work anymore. And right. I don't know if it's just, you know, naturally, these guys have been acting for like 30 years now, maybe more, I guess depending on when they started, but you just change as a person, you're just not able to get to that level anymore, or you just don't even find it exhilarating. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's been typecasted into this father figure who's put into an unlikely situation.
Right.
And that's how it's been for all of the movies since all of them.
yeah, seriously.
And he, like, what do we got? We got this one, The House. We have... what was the last one he
Daddy's
did?
Daddy's Home. And Daddy's, it has a sequel.
Right. Daddy's Home, which is the same. He's an adopted dad or a stepfather who wants to be this father figure to these children, but then the old dad comes in and he feels threatened by him. It's just like putting... all it is take Will Ferrell and put him into weird situations.
Right, right.
And he never changes as a character.
Right.
Maybe there's like... a Will Ferrell cinematic universe.
You know, that's a good point. I think you're on to something.
This is something I bet in like a few months we'll see one of those 20-minute video essays,
right?
Of someone coming up with why every Will Ferrell is in the same universe and he is the same character in every movie. Oh, I can't wait for that.
Oh man, that sounds just awful. that sounds like hell.
It starts with old school.
Right.
He has a drinking problem, but he overcomes it. But in overcoming it, he snaps and then thinks he's an elf for a good, like, several years of his life.
Okay, and then he decides, oh, shoot, that's got to go before. Okay, before old school, he's in that basketball league. What the hell is that movie called? And then that's when he gets
semi-pro.
That's right. And that team gets disbanded, so he has a drinking problem. Okay. Oh my god, that works. Then yeah.
It does.
Oh my god. Keep going, Guido. I had to add that part to the back.
Zoolander came out before Maw, so.
Oh god. We keep
his failure as a fashion mogul leads him into the life of a professional basketball player somehow.
Makes sense. Okay.
And then what else do we got? Talladega Nights, he's a race car driver.
I can see that going on after Elf. He's like so amped. He's like, I got to do something that's going to keep this excitement going. So he becomes a race car driver. That makes sense. I can go with that.
Yeah, the big thing would be fitting. It's really a lot of sports shit.
You know,
semi-pro, Talladega Nights, Blades of Glory.
Oh my god,
kicking and screaming, where he's a soccer coach.
Oh my god, you're right.
Huh.
I'm kind of speechless.
There's something to this. Someone should research this.
There is. If anyone in the community wants to send their thoughts, please send them to justokmovies@gmail.com. We would absolutely love to hear your thoughts on this possible cinematic universe of Will Ferrell, a beloved actor, a star on screen. All right. Well, hey, I watched a movie this week. Actually, it was last night. And oh boy. I don't know what to think of it. Well, actually, I do know what to think of it, but I'll get onto that here in a moment. It's a movie called The Circle, starring... Oh,
I've had that on my list, but I haven't watched it.
Would you... Do you want me to...
No, spoil? Go for it. Spoil it away. It's not high on the list.
Everyone who even saw the poster for this, or at least the idea of it, you know how it's going to end. The Circle, starring, Tom Hanks... Emma Watson, and the dude from Boyhood, the older one, not the really cute boy, but the older...
Ethan Hawke?
No, the actual boy.
Oh.
I wish Ethan Hawke. He would have been much better than this guy. Let me tell you, let me start with the positives, I guess. If you want to see a movie where you see a good actor, an okay actor, and a piece of shit actor... all in the same film, and like you can clearly see the difference between them, this is a great movie to watch. Tom Hanks is always fantastic. I really rank Tom Hanks as being one of the greater actors, as well as probably one of the most diverse actors. I mean, he can do anything, and he does it well. And I got a lot of respect for him. Even him in this, which it clearly looked like he was phoning in his performance, he was still better than anyone else in the film. Emma Watson being okay, the other guy being the piece of shit. Emma Watson should never do an American accent, first of all.
She couldn't sell it.
Every like fourth or fifth word sounded British.
Oh boy.
It's kind of bad. You kind of get used to it after a while, but it's very noticeable at the beginning. So the premise of the movie is you've got Emma Watson. She's kind of down on her luck. Her dad's got MS, so they're not in a great situation. But her friend gets her a job at the Circle, which is basically if Facebook and Google were all one. They know everything about you because you have to sign up. You have to sign up with your social security number and all this stuff to prove that you're an actual person. They have all this information on you, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger. She becomes more involved with the company as she's there and starts to see, I guess you would say, the problems, as well as talking to one of the founders, which is played by John Boyega, who's Finn from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling her about all the stuff that they're going to be doing, how he believes it's really wrong. And she starts seeing it because they create this program where they can find people very quickly, under 20 minutes, find anyone in the world. And this demonstration goes bad when they want them to find one of her best friends. And he doesn't want to be found. He's kind of a recluse. He doesn't really like being around people. And he is being chased by all these people who have found him, and he runs his car off a bridge and dies. So that's kind of her turning point as a character. And she ends up getting back to against the founders because he was kind of egging her on to keep pushing the envelope. The movie is shallow, extremely boring, and super, super, I guess you would say, on the nose about everything, but it's trying to be like hip and cool, or like, oh, you bet you didn't think about this, did you? Oh, cameras being everywhere. That's a good thing. It's just like hitting you over the head with this message. And you know it's bad. You know, it's like, we shouldn't have these like little cameras you can't even see, but can say who you are and keep track of you and all of this stuff. It's just, it's like if you took like a Michael Moore film and made it even more like on the nose about the point it's trying to make. And it's...
comes across preachy, huh?
Preachy and extremely pretentious. But I will say it did make me think in kind of a way that I didn't expect, because I was about ready to turn the whole film off. It's a piece of crap, and I don't recommend anyone watching it. But the only redeeming factor it had for me was I was thinking about Google released a new product that they're working on where the Google Assistant can make phone calls for you. So like if you're wanting to make an appointment at a hair salon and maybe they don't have online booking, you can actually tell the assistant to make that call for you and she'll try to schedule a time for you. And they did a demonstration of one of the many times they did it in their lab, and it was very convincing. And I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty neat. But it made me think, because in that movie, those people were thinking those cameras were really cool and innovative, when I was like, oh my God, this is freaky and this shouldn't happen. You know, it was kind of like just making the masses look like a bunch of idiots when, you know, they should really be noticing that. But I was like, well, hell, maybe I'm an idiot for thinking this Google Assistant feature is really good when it could be just as scary as all those cameras being everywhere. And so I got to give it kudos for that. It did kind of make me think. But it's a piece of crap.
I like it when movies make you think.
I do too.
It's better when they're good movies, but...
It is. It is. I think they should just let Emma Watson speak British or English or have her accent.
Yeah, why did she need an American accent?
Couldn't she just be, you know... They probably think we're morons. Really, I don't think I can stress enough, and it's hard to stress it in words, just how much I think the film thinks the person watching it's an idiot and it thinks everything it's doing is cool and hip. I think it kind of wanted to be like The Social Network, but it was not nearly as well written and it's a piece of crap. So I wish I could say more on it, but it's pretty bad. But it did make me think about that. So I think it's on Netflix. I think it's on Amazon Prime. I mean, check it out if you want to, but I could definitely see why it got like a 20 or 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's pretty bad.
I haven't liked Emma Watson in anything.
She's not good. She, you know, she was fighting Hermione, whatever. You know, I didn't read the books, so I have no idea if she fit the bill or not. She was cute to look at when she was older. I don't know. I guess I didn't have to say that, but anyway.
If you go back and watch those Harry Potter movies, you start at the beginning, the kids are fucking, it's god awful. It's horrible to watch.
I agree. I still haven't sat through, I think the only one I would sit through is the fourth one on. I could not. I started the first one several times and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. And what has she been in since then?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That made a lot of money.
She's not
anything
great.
Else.
I haven't paused if she's been in other stuff. It seems like, I think they said she does a lot of on stage stuff, which I can see. She actually went back to school and stuff like that, so that was cool. It just doesn't seem like she's really pushed the movie career as much.
No.
Which, I mean, that's fine. I don't think she's super cute, and she seems like she's a real nice person, but she's not someone I would like intentionally want to go see a film because Emma Watson's in it.
No, definitely not.
She kind of plays the same character. Even in this, she was kind of seemed like she wasn't She was trying harder to mask her accent than actually act. That's actually a really great synopsis of her acting there. But oh my god,
I just had an epiphany. Go.
Okay, no, no, go ahead.
Will Ferrell. He's going back to Will Ferrell.
Okay,
he's the Homer Simpson of movies.
You elaborate.
You know how Homer Simpson did every kind of thing? He was an astronaut. He was a prohibition beer baron. Oh. He was a garbage commissioner. You know, he's done everything. That's Will Ferrell, but in movie form.
Interesting.
And now Emma Watson is like fucking Lisa Simpson.
Oh my god. That is an epiphany. All right, who would be Bart?
Oh, Bart. It'd have to be a younger actor.
Right.
That's in a lot of stuff that plays similar roles, but is in different positions. So maybe like a Michael Cera or.
I could definitely see Cera, but he's definitely not as. He's a little too wimpy. I could see him as a Milhouse.
Okay, yeah. Man, I don't know. I don't know who would be Bart.
Bart's tough because he's quite iconic. It's tough to fit someone in that role. But Homer and Lisa, those are those are strong. Those are strong
Meryl
picks.
Streep is Marge.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
She's been in like 183 movies.
Oh, my God. Oh, my wife...
My wife.
I knew right after I said that. You that. She is so pumped for that new Mamma Mia film.
Oh,
I know.
Kill me.
I know.
Kill me. Put a bullet in my head.
All right. Do you? I know. I feel the same way. I could barely stand the first one. I just imagine Pierce Brosnan as being James Bond, but on vacation. And I kind of got through it. But other than that, that's the only way I kept myself entertained. Do you like plays or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like plays that are based on pre-established music?
Not really.
Same. I can't stand them. I love plays. I'll sit and watch a musical or anything any day of the week. But it's just something about you've already got these songs. And I think we all kind of develop memories or like when we heard that song or it's like, okay, some are way stronger than others. But then when you have a song like that and then they're trying to put it to an already set story, it just doesn't work for me. Like, you know, all the scenes from like Sound of Music or hell, even the one like Rent or Phantom of the Opera. Like you have these images of these songs because they're tailor made to the scene and the tone that they're set in. Whereas they're having to make a movie and tailor made the scene to, you know, the music that's been around for maybe, you know, 20 years or so. And it just doesn't have the same feel.
What other movies have a set soundtrack or musicals at all?
Probably the last big one was that Across the Universe with all the Beatles songs. It was the most pretentious piece of crap I'd ever seen in my life. I don't know why I bought it. Actually, I do remember why I bought it. The girl I was dating at the time really liked it. So I bought it. So we would watch that, but I hated every damn second of it.
You got the Pitch Perfect movies that are kind of an amalgamation of the two.
That's true. That's true. And I can forgive it a little bit because I feel like the story is not really set around the music. It's, you know, they're a cappella singers and they just sing popular songs. I can kind of live with that a little bit more, but it's more like with Mamma Mia, they're not singers. They're just kind of living their life. Yeah. And then they just break out in a number of for a song that's been around, you know, for about as long as I've been alive, or really longer than that. And it just doesn't work. It doesn't set that right tone, I feel, or I just can't get involved with it like I could with like Sound of Music or hell, Mary Poppins or something. It just,
yeah, you got to give me an original score.
Right. I just feel it's kind of lazy because it's the out of a musical, I'm going to hear a song that gets me even deeper into the scene. And I just hearing, you know, Dancing Queen for the billionth time, and I'm dancing around for some reason because someone got pregnant. I don't know. It just doesn't. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
But do you know what
my favorite musical of 2016 was?
Oh, what? Oh,
La La Land.
I should have known that off the top of my head. Right when I said, what was it? La La Land. You know, it you know, they had original music. I'll give it that. And I felt way more for that film than I did any other, like Mamma Mia or something like that. I actually did like the scenes with what's the dude's name? The main actor guy.
Ryan Gosling.
Thank you. I kind of liked his songs when he had that like real deep voice and he was walking around real melancholy. Those mm-hmm. were really good scenes of La La Land and the dancing part.
Damien Chazelle, who's the director of La La Land, made Whiplash before La La Land, and Whiplash is—it's got to be in my top 10 favorite movies of all time.
I've heard that, and I wish I need to sit down and watch it. I've heard it's so good.
You should. And I was just sold. And there's so much of that look and feel of Whiplash in this movie. Like super quick cuts in La La Land, we're talking about.
Sure.
Super quick cuts of back and forth and just interesting cinematography, beautiful sets. It's a magical movie.
It really is. You know, I was really shocked how much that movie spoke to you. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't think that was in your wheelhouse.
No?
No.
I'm a lover of film.
You are. You continue to surprise me, sir. Hmm. No, I really found that quite touching. I wish I felt more about it, too. But I will say the cinematography in that film was outstanding, especially the dancing around in the observatory. That was so well done. Mm-hmm. And the ending part.
The ending is great.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, it's so freaking good. Absolutely. All right. Well,
we're kind of all over the place on this episode.
I enjoy it. You know, we decided we wanted to take a little bit of a break and just kind of chat about films. So I hope you're enjoying it. And if you got any other questions about films or things you want to talk about, shoot us an email. We'd be more than happy to talk about it on another chill episode like this. But hey, let's jump into some TV. Why don't we? We know you mentioned you've been watching some shows.
I have been watching some shows. I started with The Terror. Yeah, have you heard of The Terror?
I have heard of it.
It's on AMC, and it's about two British naval ships that get that are trying to find the Arctic Passage through the Arctic Sea, and they this takes place in the, I don't know, late 1800s. The most high-tech boats of the time, coal-powered. They have provisions for years on these ships, giant ships. And they're going through the Arctic Sea, and they end up getting stuck in ice. Like, the winter comes before they think that it's going to happen, and the sea freezes and the two boats are stuck there. And it's about these two crews that are stuck on ice. And you know, they get off the ice, they build little camps, settlements on the ice, there's a paranormal effect that happens Ooh. While they're there. I won't go into too much detail.
Okay.
For anyone that wants to watch it, but there's some scary scenes, but it's a little slow at the beginning. It takes a few episodes to kind of start to ramp up, but the it's paced so deliberately like that because it gives you time to know the characters and build this relationship with them. And then it becomes a character study of these poor men who are stuck in the middle of the frozen sea for years.
Oh,
and
wow.
how they deteriorate over time. And then take that and throw on top some weird ass fucking paranormal element.
Oh, jeez.
It's cool. It's really good. And it's shot beautifully. The score is great. I can't give it enough high praise. I really enjoyed it. It might be a little slow for a lot of people, but man, I liked it a lot.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
It's a one and done season too.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's over. That's it. You get your story and then it's done. I love that. I wish there were more miniseries and especially anthology series shows.
Sure.
I kind of thought Stranger Things was going to go with an anthology kind of series. Have each season be a different story, but in the same universe.
Yeah.
And I thought that would have been real cool. Another one that's based on real life that's, I wish it would have done an anthology series. I think they were gonna, but it was the OJ trial one where Cuba Gooding Jr. played OJ. Do you remember this?
Yeah. The trial of OJ Simpson. I think that's what it was called.
It was called like Murder in America, the OJ Simpson story.
That's it. Yeah.
And I wish they would have done another season, but just another high profile case.
Right.
Like do the Menendez brothers or something.
Right.
Or anything from the 90s. There's so many large murder cases that were on the news constantly when the 24-hour news cycle developed that would be great in that kind of format. But yeah, I love when I'm told a story and then it's over.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's one reason why I had a hard time getting into TV. I love waiting until a series is just completely over and then I could just sit and watch the entire thing. I don't like waiting because I kind of just develop my own conclusion. I'm like, I don't really want to keep watching it. But if I know I could just binge through it and I know there's an end and I can get to it, it feels more complete to me. I'm the exact same way. I think having either an anthology or just a super short run series, it's underrated. And I know why it's done. You know, you make a lot of money off of shows that, you know, have brand recognition and you just keep doing it, keep pumping the advertising money out of it. I get the necessity for it, but I totally agree. Stuff like Terror, that sounds like a perfect one and done. Another one, I guess, I don't know if I would put it necessarily in the same category, but like Band of Brothers on HBO yep. was fantastic. You know, you had your beginning and your end, but it was just episodic. It's perfect. It's a great way. I think it's wonderful to have your writers be able to sit down and say, this is how many episodes we have. We need to tell a story, and we can, unlike a movie, we can let the story breathe. And that's just something you don't quite get out of a movie. You know, they got 2 hours, 3 hours if they're lucky to tell the entire story they want to. There's no time to breathe. Whereas right. you really get that with a TV show. So I agree. Absolutely. And Stranger Things is also a really good point. And I kind of wonder if they will do that. Cause I mean, those kids they're going to start shooting up. They're not going to stay the same, you know, size, cute little kids anymore. So
they got to be already. They were like, they're teetering on the edge of puberty.
Right. So it's got to be in the cards for like maybe one more season. And I can't imagine them going any further with that storyline. Really, I thought how they ended the first one was fine. I would have been happy with a brand new story.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. But I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Anchorman. Where does that fit?
Anchorman in like chronologically?
Yes.
God.
I think it's a little older, I think.
Yeah, but I think it was definitely Zoolander was like the first big one, I feel.
Right, right.
And then it came Old School.
Right.
And that's where he really blew up as a comedic movie actor.
Right.
I think was Anchorman before or after Step Brothers?
Let's see. I'm positive it was after. Let's see.
I think it was before.
I think it was. Anchorman, the first one was 2004. The sequel was 2013. Jeez. Wow. That's a big gap.
No.
Interesting. Well, very nice. Well, hey, do you have any show or movie you would recommend?
I'd recommend The Terror. I'd also recommend Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, that's so depressing.
It is depressing, but I'm a sucker for that. Like, break me, daddy.
She's cute. I mean, she was cute on Mad Men. I always found her character really cool, but the first season was painful. I heard the second season was even more. Like, I don't know if my heart can go through it.
I'm only halfway through the first season, and yeah. It pretty much every episode has something that is horrific.
Right.
Some horrific portrayal that's done to either a poor woman or very seldomly a man, but it's usually just, it's tough to watch, but it's so well done.
Very nice. Very nice. I think one show I would recommend anyone to watch, I'm a big fan of medical dramas to a degree. I do not like Grey's Anatomy. That show has gone on way, way too long.
Is that still on the air?
It's still on the air. Can you believe it? I think they're in double digits for seasons. I can't remember. I saw it one day on Hulu. I'm like, Jesus, Megan loves it. I have to leave the room. I'm like, I can't take it. It's less medical and way more drama. I like it the other way around. But I would recommend The Good Doctor. That show is a lot of fun. It's interesting. It kind of reminds me of House, but take House out and put in a autistic doctor. The House
with Will Ferrell?
The House with Will Ferrell. You take the House out of Will Ferrell. but the doctor, he is autistic and higher level, definitely, but he has the mannerisms and he's kind of having to learn how to work with people and how to treat people and things like that, and has situations and kind of ghosts of his upbringing kind of haunting him. And I highly recommend it. You know, if you enjoy an interesting medical drama and with some really touching parts that kind of, you know, it's sad. It makes you a little sad, but overall it's fascinating. I highly recommend it. It's a very good show.
Did you watch ER when you were younger?
Very little. My dad enjoyed it, so I watched it a little bit, but I haven't gone back and viewed it. I mean, it's been years.
I remember having ER nights with the family.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, we'd watch ER. I think it was on like Thursday nights. And that and X-Files are the only two shows I remember sitting down with my family to watch.
Oh.
Oh, when I was real young, we watched Quantum Leap.
Oh, Quantum Leap is fun. Oh, my God. Scott Bakula.
I wouldn't be opposed to a Quantum Leap reboot.
No, it's a great idea. Absolutely. They'll fuck it up, but it would be great. Like, can you think, like, they tried to reboot Knight Rider? And, like, thinking back, like, that went on for, like, three episodes. I don't even know if that reboot of MacGyver is still going on. But it just...
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
It blew my mind they even considered doing those. Especially
they did Miami Vice, too, didn't they?
I think, did they do the show? I knew they did the movies.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'm thinking of the movies.
You know, that's a show I had never watched until my parents were down here and they saw it on Hulu. They're like, oh, and my dad loved Miami Vice. That was a cool show, actually. I liked it.
Yeah,
it's not too bad. I recommend the old Miami Vice to anyone who wants a very, actually very dark crime show. Pretty good. Well, no, I think my parents and I, we would sit down and watch The Simpsons when I was little. We watched The Simpsons and watch Star Trek Next Generation. And that definitely brings like a warm feeling to my heart thinking back on those shows. And sure. It's like, you know, it's kind of amazing how that has an effect on you as you get older. You kind of remember those shows, sitting down, cuddling up, watching. It was good stuff. But
I just got my daughter into Survivor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Survivor 2 is a show that we watched as a family. But and I wanted to have that, you know? Me and my daughter, we have video games, but we don't.
Sure.
We don't connect over enough media, I guess. So I know she likes watching like America's Got Talent.
Sure.
And I think I abhor that show.
Yeah, same.
So I can't watch it with her.
Sure.
But I was like, come on, watch Survivor with me. You'll like it. It's crazy. These people are stuck on an island. They compete for $1 million. It's fun.
Right.
And she was so, she did not want anything to do with it. Watched the first episode of this newest season. Sold. She was sold instantly.
Nice.
So now every week she's like, oh, who's going to get kicked off Survivor?
Aww.
We can kind of theorize and we pick our favorites. That's nice.
Oh, that is so adorable. No, I totally agree. I can't take the talent or the singing shows or anything like that. But Survivor's definitely a good one. You know, that's a fun show. Well, very nice. Well, thank you all for listening to our rambles. You know, it was a chill show. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you had a fun time too. Hey, remember to follow us on Twitter on Just Okay Movies, you know, to hear when new episodes are coming out or if we're doing anything else. Would definitely love a follow, and thank you.
Yeah,
guys,
do that. If I want to see, you got to give them an ultimatum. All right.
Oh, is that how that works? Here, let me grab my notepad. Give them.
I want to see, what are we at? What's the Twitter at for Just Okay Movies? Probably like 13, 15 followers.
You nailed it, 13.
Okay. I want to see what's an obtainable number by the time, by next week.
I think 20.
20? Let's shoot higher. 25.
25.
I want to see 25 fucking followers on at Just Okay Movies on Twitter. All right? Or else.
Oh.
I don't know what.
We're shutting the pot down?
No.
That absolutely. Hey, please follow. I would greatly appreciate it. And that way you know what's going on. And hey. And tweet at me. Say, hey, what's going on? I actually had a couple of people tweet at me, and I greatly appreciate that. I love chatting with everyone.
It's nice. Even on the Just Okay Gamers, we don't get a lot of tweets of like people saying, hey, I listen to the show. But when we do, it's always a little ray of sunshine in my day of like just anyone commenting anything so that I know that it's not just bots listening to the podcast. So anyone saying anything is always grand. What the fuck are we going to watch Wild Hogs?
I was actually thinking about that. Wait,
old dogs.
Old Dogs. That's right. Yeah. That one. I think we've actually got two films, Wally's and yours. I cannot remember what Wally's was. And we'll definitely be watching those very soon, I promise. So stay tuned for that. All right, guys. Hey, you all take care. See you later.
Bye.